Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
The rifle sights are produced by the Trijicon Company of Wixom, Michigan, which has almost $1 billion in
Pentagon. In 48 hours, the U.S. Army could probably set up 100,000.
It was tough enough getting it to the airport, but now getting it from the airport out to the individuals.
For argument's sake, she loses. Let's just assume that for a moment.
You brought a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded tonight?
We must be ready all the time for the atomic bomb.
Famous Phil Hendrick Show to 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night. We give you not only the way it is, but the way it looks through the looking glass a little bit. Now, this hour we have Professor Emery Clayton, who'll be joining us to talk about the rate of adoptions occurring from Haiti to America. There's a great many children without parents, orphaned, and not necessarily by the earthquake. This is ongoing. A lot of poverty in that country, to say the least, and an awful lot of families who have opted to adopt children from Haiti. Now, the exact numbers, perhaps the professor will have, and we're going to talk with him about that here in just a second. I want to remind you, you can go to our website, philhenryshow.com, to take a look at our live streaming video, and as well as listen to the live streaming audio, philhenryshow.com. We also have an archive of all of our shows. Going back many, many years, I mean generations of Phil Hendrick shows, I mean talking 10, 15 years in some cases, and we have our five-day video archive as well, so you can watch all of that. Joining us from L.A. Canyon College, Professor Emery Clayton, and Professor, thanks to you for joining us this evening talking about this terrible situation in Haiti.
It's my pleasure, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program.
Let's talk about the earthquake, and we can talk about a lot when it comes to the suffering of the people there, the children, and the children left without parents because of the earthquake, and the numbers of children that are being adopted. Do you happen to have a rough figure?
Well, I know that it runs into, in some instances, it has run into the about hundreds, if not thousands, of these young Afro-Carib children that are being brought into the United States by families that have varying desires for enhancing their family, for helping, obviously, a child in need, and for creating for themselves an economic opportunity. And what I mean by that is once you bring the young Afro-Carib child into the United States, you bring in another potential worker, and that for a individual with a capitalist mind, and I'm speaking as a socialist, that is what my orientation, my political orientation is. I'm not trying to start an argument, but I do not, I don't shy away from telling people that I am a dyed-in-the-wool socialist.
All right, well, from that standpoint, what do you mean they're bringing children into the country as an employment opportunity?
Well, I suspect when I look at the numbers of Haitian children that are being adopted into the United States, I'm troubled. Quite frankly, I'm troubled because these are Afro-Carib children that are being adopted by primarily white families. And you know, as well as I do, and I think your listeners would concur, that adopted children are never loved as much as blood children. Now when you take a baby that is of an extremely different shade, a different color altogether, if you have two adopted, one's white and one is black, one is a white Anglo-Saxon child from an orphanage in the United States, the other dark from an Afro-Carib slum, and both children are not loved as much as the blood children, well, which one is going to be loved less of the adopted? You have to go down in terms of gradation, in terms of the color. You go from white down to dark, loved and less loved. And
well, that is assuming an awful lot, isn't it? I mean, why would people adopt these children if they didn't have some desire to help these kids?
I'm not saying they don't have any desire to help these kids. I'm not saying that at all. But you also have to look at the larger issue for a great many whites that adopt these Afro-Carib children. In many instances, these Afro-Carib children are a badge of honor. These white families can parade the little dark baby whether it be out in the park or whether it be at a party, at a coffee clutch or a Tupperware party or something like this, and they can say, oh, is this the baby you adopted? They'll say, yes, it is. So that's the black one that I heard so much about. It's a conversation piece. And I can tell you, Mr. Henry, as a professor of political science and social studies and African studies, I don't want our young black children becoming conversation pieces and becoming knickknacks sitting on a coffee table that people can discuss. I want to make sure that these children are put into proper homes where they are loved and nurtured and not trotted out in the middle of a Tupperware party to say, look what I picked up in the Caribbean.
Boy, the cynicism, with all due respect, sir.
I'm not cynical at all. I have a great deal of love for the human race.
No, but the cynicism in your voice, you are taking the phenomenon of adoption, even though it crosses racial lines, and you're attributing to it this ulterior motive having to do with a badge of honor. Having to do with enhancing economics. I didn't understand that one.
Let me explain it to you then.
Well, enhancing economics, and there is the other one was, I don't know. It just.
Well, let me explain it, because it doesn't sound to me as if you were listening very carefully, Phil. I said, when you bring a new black Afro-Carib baby into the United States, you have created yet one more individual to be a part of the working class, yes, maybe the working underclass. But this country has never been able to move very far without a relatively semi-educated working underclass. And by bringing these Afro-Carib babies into this country, in 18 years, you have just produced another member of this semi-literate working underclass. And
well, wait, what about the people that are educating
them? I'm not finished. Hold on for a minute. I'll get to your question.
What about these families that are educating them?
I said I'm not finished. I'll get to your question. You take an Afro-Carib baby from an island like Haiti, which, of course, has a history of colonialism and imperialism, was created, in point of fact, by the colonial power of France, and it was a black general that drove the whites off back in the early part of the 19th century through a slave revolt, and it became the very first independent, democratically ruled country by Afro-Carib people. Within the next few decades, the entire situation changed, and now we've got to import these blacks into our country, and I say blacks, I mean the Afro-Carib baby, so that they become a part of the permanent working underclass or a conversation piece at a baby shower. That's the part that I don't like.
So these babies that are being adopted into the United States, I think I would have to guess here, Professor, this is not a good thing.
I did not say that it wasn't a good thing.
Well, what you're saying is, yeah, every single thing that you've said to me about the adoption of these Haitian babies into the United States has been a negative.
I'm not saying that at all, Phil. And I really resent you twisting my words.
No, you've said that it's a conversation piece at a Tupperware party, or it's going to be a permanent working underclass member, something like that.
Let me say what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the following. I'm an African-American born in a great country, but recognizing the tendency of this country toward its imperialist roots. Now, America, like any capitalist country, is going to always be drawn to the sun, the sunlight, the warmth, and the vitamin D of imperialism. And hence, when you have an Afro-Carib baby, and you're bringing them in by the bushel, and you're bringing them in, and you're bringing them in, you're flying them in, you've got an airlift of Afro-Carib babies, sooner or later, it dawns on the ruling elite, we've got ourselves a ready-made workforce here. I mean, what's it going to take? A kick in the teeth? Take a look at it. I've been airlifting in Afro-Carib babies. I have a permanent working underclass of semi-literate French-speaking blacks that I can use. Now, that's the worst-case scenario.
That's the worst-case scenario, and it's also not taking into consideration anything having to do with the families that they come from.
I'm not saying they wouldn't come from good families. I'm not saying that at all, but most of these children are going to white families.
And all right, so is that the problem?
Is what the problem? It's going to the white family?
Yes.
I'm saying that it would be better if they went to black families. I don't see any percentage in these young Haitian babies who are adopted. And as you know, adopted children are never loved as much as blood children.
Yeah, you said that.
All right. Now you've got an adopted black one. How loved do you think that kid's going to be? You've already got an adopted white kid. He's not loved all that much. Now here comes the black one, and they're flush out of love. They're fresh out of love.
All right, Professor Emory Clayton joining us. I didn't mean to hang up on him, but we got to take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the adoption of Haitian babies here in the United States. And that last comment that he made about it would be better if black families were adopting them. I don't know, maybe he's right about that. But the whole phenomenon, as far as he is concerned, is...
Well, he's trying to make people look like they're special.
Yeah, like people want to adopt a black kid, so he's a conversation piece. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more from Professor Emory Clayton here on the adoption of Haitian babies here into the United States. And we'll take some of your phone calls as well when we return. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Professor Emory Clayton about the adoption of Haitian babies. What were the numbers again?
The 900 that have already been adopted but haven't been brought into the United States. 53 have been brought to the U.S. thus far. And I'm very troubled, as you know, Phil, by the adoption of Afro-Caribbean babies into white families. I'm not saying the white families would not care for them, but I think there is a social and racial reality. And
But we talk about loving a child.
You know, Phil, excuse me, but you are not as educated on the racial politics as I am. And I'm tempted, and I say this with the greatest of respect for you, but I'm tempted to refer to you as boy. And the reason why is because your knowledge is not of a level where I would say, Phil. So, boy...
I don't like being called boy if you're trying to be funny.
No, I'm not trying to be funny, but you are arguing with me about the viability of an Afro-Carib sitting in the middle of a white nuclear unit, and I'm telling you that that child will become nothing more than a conversation piece at a barbecue. And for me...
Well, that's just... I don't know how you make a statement like that. I don't know how you can actually generalize like that and say the reason why white people are adopting black kids is because it's a conversation piece, and that's just how it is, and I'm Professor Emory Clayton.
No, I didn't say that. I said that my education is a higher level than you. That's why I said, hey, boy, you didn't want me to call you that. All right.
Well, we don't have. That's got nothing to do with whether I'm, you know, want to call me boy or something. I'm talking about you and your comments that black babies being adopted into white families in America are conversation pieces.
I'm saying I want to offset the possibility by ensuring that either these Afro-Carib babies land in the middle of a black unit or are otherwise placed responsibly so that they do not become fodder for the white ruling elite, semi-literate working underclass. That's what I'm saying. Or a conversation starter at some kind of a 4 p.m. tea, where the women wear the hats, and I'm sure you understand. And they want to get a conversation going.
I understand what you're talking about, that these babies are nothing more than some sort of a status symbol. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Richard. Richard in Concord, New Hampshire. You're on with Professor Emory Clayton. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, how's it going?
I didn't finish my comment.
Well, I want to talk to this gentleman, Richard. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I'm a white man in New Hampshire, and just wanted to make it simple that basically when you generalize the intentions of all white people who intend to adopt a black kid, it's just simply racist. And I feel like you're being very elitist, using your education level against people who just have good intentions. You know, if you think, you know, 1 in 100 people that are white have bad intentions and you want to generalize about them all, it's reverse racism, my friend.
Well, I can tell you that as an African-American man, I think I know a little bit more, Richard, about racism than you do, because I've been the recipient of this. And I don't want to call you boy like I call Phil boy, but your understanding of racial politics is on the boy level. And
let's get rid of boy, okay?
It's because of your misunderstanding.
But this gentleman made the point that love is love. And to say that an individual white family adopting a black child must have ulterior motives having to do with a status symbol, isn't that racist?
Well, I will tell you that black people, by definition, cannot be racist because we don't have the power in society to be racist. Racist is about power, boy. All right?
I don't like being called boy. I told you that.
No, it's nothing personal. It's a statement.
No, whether it's a statement of the education level that I have on this, I don't care.
But black people cannot be racist. Impossible. Because of the fact that we... What?
Can I throw in one last comment?
Go ahead.
All right. Just to finalize, any ice that ever gets broken by electing a black president... Man, you just add to the thickness of racism beyond what I can imagine.
I don't understand what you're talking about, and you've lowered yourself to the level of boy now. You know. And to
well,
me,
okay, that's an ignorant comment. 877-876-PHIL. What do you mean by boy? I don't like that. Nobody wants to be called that. You don't want to be called that.
No, but it's a representation. It is a symbol of what your education level is. I have no choice. You give me no choice. When I say to you that an Afro-Caribbean baby dropped into the center of a white nuclear swirling unit becomes a fodder for the semi-literate working underclass or a conversation starter at a omelet party.
Yeah?
You don't understand.
No, man, I don't.
No, man, I don't. So you call me man, but you got a problem with me calling you boy. You may find this funny.
No, I find it ridiculous that we have to go to these ridiculous extremes and these ridiculous places when we're talking about orphans, children that need help. Would you agree that they need help?
Of course they need help. They need the right kind of help. And to drop a black unit into the middle of a continually in motion white unit or machine will dilute the black so that there is a cocoa color. You understand?
No, I don't understand. I don't understand.
I'm talking in terms of the political and racial effects.
Oh, okay. I guess, but I don't understand why the comparisons constantly in terms of race. Here is Victor. Go ahead, Victor. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I just wanted to say hello to Professor Emmy Clayton, and I'm a boy, and you, sir, well, you're insane. And I can tell by your arguments that you've obviously neglected to attend an ethics class. And I disagree with you completely. I mean, the adoption of Haitian children in the United States, regardless of your academic accomplishments, sir, are theories, and they're merely that, theories. Shouldn't you be happy that they're even given the opportunity to live a better life?
Well, I don't know what kind of homes these children are going to be in. What kind of homes are they going to be in? Are these black Afro-Caribbean babies going to be conversation starters at omelet parties? What's that?
Adobe homes. What are you talking about? I mean, to be adopted alone and to be helped should be more than enough satisfaction for you and the Haitian people. I mean,
I don't know if that child is an Afro-Caribbean baby growing up to be self-loathing.
As to show up the Joneses, like to keep up with the neighbors, to say that America's capable of doing something like that on a large scale is completely ridiculous. That may happen.
What is that?
And, ordinarily,
I'm talking about the fact that young Afro-Caribbean babies may be trained to continue to feed the golem of the capitalist machine.
Look, if your socialist politics, which you very readily admit to, if that's what's driving your opinion of adoption in America, I would submit, perhaps Victor would too, that you're skewing this thing politically, man, and you don't want to see it from a humanistic point of view.
And there you go again with man, but you don't want me calling you boy.
No, I'm calling you man. You don't have to call me boy. All right, anyway, thank you, Victor, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Professor Emery Clayton. Man, are we going out into outer space? All we're trying to talk about here are the adoptions going on of Haitian children to the United States. Professor Emery Clayton, back with us, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Thank you, boy.
Phil Henry.
Hey, boy.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and on the line, Professor Emery Clayton, as we continue to talk about the number of Haitian babies being adopted into the United States. There were 53 Haitian orphans flown into the U.S. today. Much of this news is coming to us by virtue of the fact that this earthquake took place, Professor, because these adoptions have been ongoing.
That is correct. That is my information, my understanding. 900 orphans have already been adopted, but have not been brought into the United States yet. The earthquake, if anything, has focused a white-hot spotlight on the attractiveness of adopting these Afro-Caribbean babies. I refuse to call them so-called Haitian babies because that is a colonialist term, regardless of the origins of the slave revolt and the ensuing republic. These are Afro-Caribbean babies, and they are coming to the United States for a variety of reasons. Now, let me say this. If you adopt a young Afro-Caribbean baby and you are white, and you've got a black, and the child says, I would like to return to Haiti because I want to see my parents, I want to see my family, I want to see my kinsmen, and I want to see the land of my birth, and that child is happier juggling for tourists on a dock someplace as they get off a cruise ship than he would ever be living in your split-level ranch home, then I think you have to accept that.
And when is that going to happen?
I beg your pardon?
When is that going to happen? You know, I know a family that adopted a black child from Ethiopia. That child did exactly what you said, went back, saw his parents, wanted to see the land of his birth, wanted to see his roots, wanted to see his family, and couldn't wait to get back to the States to his adopted family.
That kid was Ethiopian, right?
Yeah.
Whole different ballgame. I'm talking about Afro-Caribbean. You're getting off into... Forget about Africa for 5 seconds. We're talking about the Caribbean. Islands. Water. A different mindset.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to some phone calls. We have Suzanne in San Diego. Suzanne, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Hi, Professor. With all due respect, I think you're out of your mind. I have a 16-year-old child that I adopted from Africa. Whether you think Africa, Carib, or whatever is different than an African child has absolutely no bearing. I don't care if they're surrounded by land or if they're surrounded by water. We are white people who took on this child when she was 2. She's 16 now. We've taken her back to her land of origin. I mean, who do you think
you
are?
She wanted to see the land of origin, didn't she? She wanted to see her people.
No, we offered. No. You don't know anything about us, sir. Don't jump to conclusions. No. Don't jump to conclusions. You don't know anything about us. We raised her with her knowing about her heritage. We raised her knowing that we wanted to take her back. We wanted to take her back to be reunited with her people. And it was a rich, beautiful, wonderful experience. What?
And what if she wanted to stay with them and say, I would rather live here among the chieftains and the high grass than to go back with you to San Diego?
She wouldn't, because we are her family. We are her. We are all she knows.
What if she said, no, I'd really like to stay?
Well, she didn't. I mean, what is with the hypothetical here, doctor?
I mean, that's insane, doctor. No child would. I don't care if I adopted a child from Atlanta, Georgia, and she would never want to go back. We are her family. That's what adoption is.
Uh-huh.
They become yours.
So you're saying that Atlanta, Georgia represents a black colony to you?
No,
why did you say Atlanta? You say that there's a lot of Afro-Caribbean babies there.
No. You're talking about distance geography.
Atlanta is coal black in your mind.
No, she didn't say that at all.
That's not what I said. Professor, you were accusing the previous caller of being a racist, and you were saying that there's no way you could be because of the color of your skin. You're out of your mind.
I'm black.
You're the most unbelievable racist I have ever seen in my life.
How can I be a racist when I don't have the power that you have?
You are so prejudiced.
I'm prejudiced. I could... Is the lady still there? Is the lady still there?
I think she hung up on you. She's very, very angry.
What is she angry about? She's the one that's got the black kid. And damn, she's going to use that chap. See, she hung up. I can hear the dial tone coming. Now, I didn't have the opportunity to ask her if she trotted that child out at omelet parties.
You know what? I don't think that is respectful. I can understand her anger, and I wish that you would not say that. If people say, I adopted the child out of love, then accept them for what they're saying.
I don't do that, Phil. An academic doesn't do that. An academic looks at the facts. And once you look at the facts, and you see how the, as they say, how the chips fall where they may, right? As Buffalo Bill used to say, that's what I look at. And if I'm looking at an Afro-Caribbean child that is far happier juggling and selling Aztec calendars to tourists than he would ever be at a water park in America, then I have to accept that.
What child have you ever met that would much prefer to be back in Haiti living in poverty than at a water park in America? Here is Joe in Greenville, North Carolina. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Emery Clayton.
Yes, Phil. This is the first time I've actually called a radio station. I've been listening to your radio station for about an hour, and I must say you have some characters on there. This one talking about the Haitian baby.
My name is Professor Emery Clayton, and you can speak to me directly. You don't have to talk about me as if I'm not here. I am a professor of African studies.
All right.
All right, Doctor. I apologize for that. I must say that so far, it sounds like you have a PhD in opinion. I have a friend who's actually with his wife that cannot conceive a baby.
I'll give you a round of applause on that. They can't conceive a baby, and so they've gone out and plucked a little black one from the ruins of a nation.
No. They did not pluck, okay? They are asking to receive some love from a baby who has nothing, and care for a baby.
If the baby has nothing, why are they asking it for love?
But what would you have them do at that point? Just have the baby stay there?
I wouldn't ask the baby for anything. They're asking a baby to give them, and the baby's fresh out of friends. So what more can the...
They're talking about loving the baby.
Well, he said they're asking a baby for love. I think it's a lot to put on a child, especially a black child from an impoverished Caribbean nation that has undergone a tragedy like this earthquake. 700,000. We don't know what the death toll will be. It could run into the tens of millions of
including,
people buried under
including,
rubble.
Sir, including babies. Including parents, in which babies are being left with no parents. Am I right?
Babies are left with no parents.
So what is wrong?
I would love to see the Afro baby adopted into an Afro family in America.
Doctor.
I'm a professor.
All right,
okay,
so
professor.
Let's wrap up here.
Professor. All right. If a white family is okay with a black child and loves him or her just the same as if it were white, that is actually, that's a turning point for our nation right there.
And what if the kid's not okay with the family? See, you say if the family is all right with loving a black, but what if the black child is a little iffy on the family? He doesn't get a vote.
Okay, so the baby,
Afro-Caribbean child.
All right, look, I'm going to run on to another call. Thanks very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. You're listening to people say, talk about love, and everything with you is political.
Everything with me is reality, Phil. Everything with me is reality.
What about love? Good old-fashioned love. Look at this child. I'm going to help this child. This child is hurt. This child needs a future. This child, I can do a lot for this child. What about that?
I think that is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But you have to understand that before you get to the purity and the beauty of love, you have to sink down through the septic tank of ulterior motive. Love is a nice, dry, sweet-smelling spot at the very bottom of that septic tank. But you have to sink down through the all of that mess that comes out of the toilet, you know. And you've got to swim down through it. And what you're swimming down through is the omelet party. You know.
Yeah, all this stuff that you were telling me about in terms of the child being used as some sort of a trophy. And that's the part that you don't, and I, we're not connecting here.
You heard of a trophy wife. Why can't you have a trophy trophy babe or a trophy Afro-Caribbean baby?
What? It doesn't compute, man. Here is Greg in Salt Lake City. Greg, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
How you doing, fellas?
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
My statement, I'm doing great. My question is, it is based on love, for one thing, and how does a person justify white people not being able to adopt these children?
What's that?
I have enough black families that aren't willing to adopt these children. What are we supposed to do, just let them die in Haiti?
No, and not white at all. I think you have to give the opportunity of those families in Haiti to reconstitute themselves through various programs.
Wait. Are you
that's
saying
that's going to take years right now, right?
Years, perhaps.
It's going to take years for that country to rebuild itself.
Well, I don't know how long it took to build it in the first place. It didn't take very long for it to fall down. And I'm making a little bit of a joke.
The infrastructure is completely dead. You know that.
Right.
And I hate to put the word in, but it's going to be living as a welfare state for quite a long time until it can get back on its feet. But what I'm talking about right now.
See, there's that word. That's a racially
very small,
charged
very
word.
Small
welfare.
Children,
that's a racially
very
small charged
children,
word. Welfare.
Very small children right now may not have the opportunity
to wait for
this country to rebuild itself. And if I cannot father children, wish to adopt a child from Haiti, because I feel bad for the child and I love these children, I'm wrong for that because I'm white.
And you're wrong for that when you trot the child out along with a bowl of Doritos. If you bring that child out along with a bowl of Doritos and bean dip, yes.
Can I make my statement?
What? Say that again.
What I'm saying is, if you bring that child out after you've adopted that child, sir, along with a bowl of Doritos and bean dip, then yes, you are to be condemned. Because what you're doing is, you're using that child as a conversation starter at the beginning of the lingerie bowl. And to me, that's using a child.
Lingerie bowl? I don't understand where your ideology comes from. I'm not really sure what kind
ideology,
of ideology you've got.
I don't want our Afro-Caribbean children becoming curiosities, almost
I
as
want
if they were the elephant man.
To have a better life.
Right, a better life. Got nothing to do with being the elephant man.
I don't have a problem with giving them a better life infrastructure to reconstitute itself.
I'd rather those children die long
before that will ever happen.
I think it would be better if those children died of starvation than to be trotted out in the middle of an afternoon tea in a diaper and a banner that says 2010.
Oh, okay. So I couldn't just have the child come out and say, oh, by the way, this is my son.
Yeah, how about that?
How about what?
How about, I'd like to introduce you to my son.
Oh, sure. Okay. I'd like to introduce you to my son. Oh, which one? Oh, there he is, the black one.
It doesn't matter.
You know, the cynicism's
unbelievable.
Listen, I thank you very much for your call.
You're the only person, okay.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
I'm the only person that is pointing out the fact that, you know, bringing your kid out in a diaper with a banner that says 2010, that's sketchy.
What does that mean?
You know how that baby, the new year, the baby.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, thank you very much, sir, for your call. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you, Professor Clayton, for your asinine series of comments. I thought we were going to have a serious discussion on, you know, Haitian babies getting adopted. And the last thing I hear is trotting the kid out with a bowl of Doritos and bean dip. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey boy, is that it?
This is the world famous
Bill Hendry Show.
You do a hit on my face.
You gotta keep them separated.
It's the Bill Hendry Show.
A former Hamilton County Cincinnati morgue employee is held on $700,000 cash bond accused of having sex with a corpse. While on the job some 25 years ago. Oh,
Yeah, ain't there a like limitation of it?
Yeah, I was going to say the statute of limitation. 55-year-old Kenneth Douglas faces a charge of gross abuse of a corpse.
What they will do is they will engage, put themselves in position to engage in sexual acts with people who can't resist. Mm-hmm. And this is one form of that. A dead person certainly can't resist. And they can go into their mind and fantasize whatever they want to fantasize in a very bizarre, obviously, way.
Apparently, there was a local 12 news crew in Cincinnati, Channel 12 of Cincinnati, that was there getting these comments. That's Dr. Scott Bressler. He's a forensic psychiatrist explaining the appeal of a corpse to a necrophiliac. Now, they had a crew there at the courthouse when this Kenneth Douglas made his first appearance before Judge William Mallory at 9 a.m. In the hearing, prosecutors said they believe Douglas had other victims, and they are investigating more cases. They said his bond at $700,000 cash. Boy, that seems pretty steep. Anyway, the charge dates back to August of 1982 when door-to-door salesman David Steffen killed Karen Range at her home. Steffen confessed to the murder but denied raping Range. He was sent to Ohio's death row. Douglas was in charge of checking Range's body into the morgue, and prosecutors allege that that duty gave Douglas the opportunity to have sex with Range's body. It wasn't until now, until the now 55-year-old Douglas was arrested in March on drug charges, that a DNA sample was taken and linked him to this. Oh, God. Anyway, here is Dr. Stuart Baseman, a psychologist. He describes necrophilia and how much fun it can be.
It's all in their mind. To a great extent, it's the same thing with pornography. The person in their mind is creating an imaginary fantasy relationship. In their mind, they believe they're doing something very innocent. Most of the time, they believe they're doing something that's not really hurting someone.
And we have this just in, Phil.
What?
The doctor says there are other victims, but they're not talking. That is a good one, isn't it?
It's moderately funny, yeah.
There's other victims, but they're not talking.
Very good, bud. Very good. All right.
There's other victims, but...
I got it already, but they're not talking. Now, also today, Hamilton County Coroner Odell Owens held a news conference on the case. Owens says that although the incident happened many years before he took office, when he heard the allegations, I nearly fell to the ground. That's the worst thing that can happen in a coroner's office, other than the fact that they could be stealing my stash and shooting it in a can. That's pretty bad, but I don't want to go into that, said Owens as he drifted off to sleep. Owens says currently all morgue employees are required to give a DNA sample and that there are more stringent security measures in place to prevent such acts. Cameras now record all interaction between morgue employees and bodies, and some of them are for sale on the Internet. Owens says that he told Douglas, he's been told that Douglas left his job with the morgue abruptly and later worked at the Jameson and Jameson Funeral Home. Owens said he told Douglas before he left, "Your career in this town is dead." "Ha, ha, 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 ha," he said, and then fell to the floor, realizing that he hadn't had his weekly injection. He also says his office has received phone calls from many people interested in taking advantage of some of the services offered at the... No, I mean, he received phone calls from concerned families, some of which expressed... I don't mean to laugh, but... You imagine a cat calling the coroner's office? "Wait a minute, my mother was there. I want to find out, did this guy do my mother too?" "Well, sir, I can't. I want to know." You imagine the guy there? "Yes, having sex with a corpse is hard for many to understand. But to help us understand, here is Bill Rothschild, our 7 on the line reporter. Bill, well, you know, having sex with a corpse can be a recuperative act, something that can actually lead to a more fulfilling lifestyle. Here I am at the Douglas County Morgue. Now, you'll see about 6 drawers here have been pulled out."
That's sick.
Oh, knock it off. I'm having a little bit of a laugh. You mind?
Yeah, but you're talking about doing a dead man.
I didn't say doing a dead man. Oh, I see. So, in other words, it's okay to do a dead woman.
Well, that's understandable.
Are you trying to tell me now that it's sick to have sex with a dead male corpse, but not with a dead female corpse?
Yeah, because one's gay.
Well, first of all, being gay ain't sick. That's number one. Number two, if you're having sex with any dead body, it's sick. Equally sick.
Even if you, if a guy had sex with a dead lady and a guy had sex with a dead man, which is the worst one?
Both of them are sick. Both of them are sick.
No, but what's worse?
They're both bad.
Oh, are you kidding me? The other one's worse.
Why don't you get out of here, man, before I spill this entire jumbo Carl's Jr. Coke right down the back of that greasy leather jacket of yours. Get out of here. Here, give me a refill on that, will you?
Is that diet? Yeah, it should be.
Oh, isn't that funny, man?